Welcome to the Free From Mummies podcast, brought to you by Kate and Jade, mates, mums, and allergy and asthma advocates.
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the Free From Mummies podcast. In this episode, we are absolutely thrilled to be joined by Claire, allergy mum to 2 gorgeous little ones, and also founder of the Allergy Collective. In this episode, we talk all things growth mindset and positivity. We talk about the Allergy Collective and Claire's new product. And we also talk about the Allergy Free From show and a few of our allergy inspirations, though I must say it is really only a few, and we could go on for hours and hours about all of the people that have inspired us from the allergy community. As always, there will be links in our show notes to support you with any of the issues that we bring up during our discussions today. Grab yourself a cup of tea or something a little bit stronger and get cracking with whatever it is that you do while listening to podcasts. We really hope that you enjoy this episode, and we would love to hear from you with anything that you've got to say about it. You can contact us at thefreefrommummiespodcast@gmail.com, or if you head over to our Instagram and Facebook pages, you can send us a message over on there too. We hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for joining us. We're joined by Claire, both allergy mum and founder of Allergy Collective. Claire, it's really nice to have you on here tonight. How's your week going?
It's going all right. I'm still standing, so yeah, we're all good. We're all good.
Always a good start. There's so much knowledge and everything around what you've done so far. Where did your inspiration come from?
Well, as you said, I'm an allergy mum. My eldest daughter is 11 now. She has had issues from when she was born, with eczema, allergies, asthma, allergic rhinitis, and the rest of it. So it's all come from there, really. Well, looking back now, because our hindsight's wonderful, it was literally pretty much the second day after she was born. Yeah, it started with she screamed incessantly, was uncomfortable, didn't want to feed. I was told, as a lot of people are, I was told it was normal. She's a newborn. Yeah. But, you know, looking back now, that wasn't normal. Yes, obviously newborn babies have their moments, and they cry and all that jazz. But this was different. And it felt different at the time. But I was a first time mum, that it's normal. You think then, well, what's the issue? Do you know what I mean? There must be something.
Yeah. What is, and it's it? Not until you look back and you see actually it was glaringly obvious the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you know all of the symptoms and you kind of know, you're like us, Claire, like you've researched, obviously.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, we know the handbook in and out, inside and out. And when you look back, it's almost like, how was this missed?
Exactly.
It's interesting as well, Claire, with your own experience, couldn't counter that what the doctors were saying.
No, not at all. And I think it's that when you're faced with a doctor who's telling you it's normal, you're going to believe that as gospel because they are the professional, which, you know, professionals have a lot of training and they know what they're talking about, but sometimes things get missed, and you know your own baby, and that's one thing that I wish I'd push for more at the beginning. But, you know, I'd just given birth. It was a traumatic birth. And, you know, like I said, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But
it's hard as a first-time mum as well, because, like you said, you do take their word as truth. And your concerns are kind of, I felt like they didn't really have much backbone to them, because I didn't really have any experience. So with my own child, my own newborn. So, it's a tricky one to navigate, isn't it, in the beginning?
It's amazing how many people as well have that experience. You know, ours was exactly the same, you know, just constantly being batted away, and you just, in your gut, you know there is something not right. But it's really hard to trust that.
It took us a long time to get to the point of diagnosis, a long time. I think it wasn't until she was kind of 15 months old and I decided to try her with a peanut butter sandwich, that, and she went into anaphylaxis.
Wow.
That we were kind of taken seriously. Because prior to that, a couple of times at nursery, she'd come up with hives all over her body, And they'd gone away again as quick as they kind of arrived. And I'd taken her to the doctor, and I was told, you know, she's allergic to something. You will find out one day.
Wow. Gosh.
And obviously, we found out in the worst way.
Yeah. And it shouldn't get to that, should it? There shouldn't be so many parents. I'm included in that bracket that have their children's allergies diagnosed because they nearly lost them.
And even then, even after that, the city where I live, where I did live, don't have the facility for skin prick testing.
What? So
I know, it's quite a major city in the country as well.
Gosh.
So it was blood test. That was it. That's all you got, a blood test. And I mean, I say that's all you've got. Obviously, it's a diagnostic test for allergies, and it's not the whole picture.
And it's not straightforward as well. I don't know about you, Claire, but so Quill's first blood test came back completely normal, and he still went on to have like anaphylactic reactions after that. So, you know, there is an anomaly within them.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and until my daughter was six, every test she had, blood test, skin prick test, was positive, no matter what you tested her for.
Wow.
So it got to the point where I was like, is this going to be like this forever? Every time we come here, we're going to get more.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to come again if this is what's going to happen.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Claire, as well, because you've had a second little one as well, haven't you?
Yeah. He's 5 months old now.
How are things going?
Obviously, we've got prior with her. So, and the allergy clinic, you know, I've had advice from the allergy clinic we're under now. I may add. That is in the kind of like the next city along from us is one of it's amazing and literally so amazing, and I'm so glad that that's the one we live closest to, if that makes sense. And obviously they knew we were going to have a baby. I'd spoken to the allergy nurse, and then so when he was born and I started seeing issues. I was straight onto them. So he's already been tested with blood test and skin prick test.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, we get into the weaning stage now. And obviously he's 5 months old. So the things that he's tested negative for, I think the advice is get them in.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, that's wonderful advice. But get them in to a child who you're not 100% sure what their allergies are, and you have previous with an older child, isn't as straightforward as just get them in, as you know.
It's all fine and well, I'm suggesting that, but they're not in our homes when
Even
we have
say,
the
yeah.
consequences of those reactions and kind of live with whatever that might bring.
Of course, yeah, it's not as straightforward as that, is it?
No.
And how did you find it all, Claire, going through it all a second time? You know, having your second child and then seeing allergies appear again, like that must have been really tough. Or did you feel more prepared for it?
I think I was more prepared. I obviously have more knowledge of it now. When my daughter was a baby, I had no knowledge whatsoever. I don't have allergies. No one in my family has allergies from like growing up and stuff. So this time it was, you know, as soon as I saw something, I kind of knew what it was. He's a different baby. I wasn't expecting him to have allergies, but I knew that there was a chance that it might present itself. So I suppose you're a bit more vigilant with it. Just because it's what you're living with all the time, I suppose. It's just there, isn't it? So but going back to my daughter when she was young, as I was saying, even after she had had anaphylaxis and these blood tests to nut, the advice was she's allergic to these four nuts, peanuts and three tree nuts. Just avoid them. Again, we know that's not as straightforward as it sounds.
No.
And we still weren't referred to the allergy clinic. And I kept going back to the doctors because she was still having issues. Kept going back. And it wasn't until she was 2.5 we eventually got referred to the allergy clinic. Wow. And obviously then, like I say, she had skin prick tests there and more blood tests and everything was positive. But it took a long time. It was very stressful because she kind of has followed the allergic march, like, to the letter, I think. touch wood, her asthma's well controlled. She's on a steroid inhaler, and that seems to help keep any issues at bay.
Yeah. It's, it's so strange how they all interlink, isn't it? Like the eczema, the asthma, and they all sort of seem to flare a bit at the same time sometimes, don't they?
When that's true, a bit
run down and start seeing, I mean, Quill's quite lucky it's localised, but it can start seeing it crop up again, and then his chest will go and allergies go. It's
just kind of waiting for the next
thing. Yeah. You're like, oh, what's coming next?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I feel we are at the moment, and it's just so exhausting.
Yeah, just
waiting for the phone call from school, or hard to live your life like that sometimes.
Yeah, it is. And I think wherever all of the children are back in school now, and it's coming to that time of year when asthma and, you know, eczema and all of those things kind of become more prevalent. I mean, they're prevalent all year round, but this is the time of year they start ramping up a bit more, isn't it? And the fact that they've not been together as much, it's just,
feels like the perfect storm, doesn't it?
Exactly.
So can you tell us a bit about Allergy Collective and how that came about?
Yeah, sure. So so basically, I sat there one day and thought, you know, what do allergy families need? And it's support from people who know, who get it. Yeah. And, you know, there are other platforms out there that do exactly the same thing. But, you know, everyone who runs one of those has a different background, a different experience, and brings something different to it. Yeah, it's basically a support platform for families who are living with allergies, and for individuals, of course. But where my background is working with children, kind of started with products to support children, basically. And basically, we're a platform that has like hints, tips, and products to help children kind of become empowered and resilient, and to take ownership of their allergies, because I know from experience with my daughter, it's one of those things you don't like being different, especially around her age, kind of like junior school age.
Kind
of hits, and it's just something else that, you know, that children of that age hate being different anyway. And something that you can't like leave behind, you know, it's always there because you always have to be vigilant.
So
I just thought that to help them become empowered, resilient, take ownership of their allergies, using kind of like education, affirmation, mindfulness, and gratitude. I love mindset work. Absolutely love it. Absolutely brilliant. Like I say, I worked with children for 20 years. So I went back to, well, I say I went back, I went to university 3 years ago now, to kind of build on that. And I've done a degree in childhood, youth and psychology. It just absolutely fascinates me. And all of the work I did was angled towards allergies and children with allergies, just to kind of cement what I already know, my experience and my training and all that sort of thing. You know, I'm not a medical professional by any means, by any stretch of the imagination, but my experience as an allergy mum, and then kind of that on top of it, it's just...
You feel well-armed.
So I love mindset stuff, but I also focus on, like, the reality, because, you know, you need to recognise some days are just rubbish.
Yeah.
Or some things are just rubbish. And it's realising that it won't be like that forever. But recognising that it is rubbish and how you're feeling about that. And just that's making so sure that when it is good, enjoy that. Enjoy the good stuff. But recognise the bad stuff, because life's like that. It's not linear. It's kind of all over the place, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I think as a mother, I sometimes need that reminder as well. Because even when things are good, it's sometimes very easy, well, for me, to kind of think, but what if this happened? And where's the nearest hospital, and how would I get there? And then suddenly I'm on this whole other, you know, I'm on a whole other level. Meanwhile, everything is fine.
And it's all happening around you.
And I'm kind of missing that.
Absolutely. And I think what if is a gift and a curse for allergy families. It's a really difficult balance to kind of get, I suppose.
I think all we can be is prepared and know those things, and know that we've got the medication, and know everything that we already know, and just kind of take peace in that and just try and enjoy it more. And it's so much easier. Like, even as I'm saying it, I'm like, that's easier said than done.
It's true. It's really true. And, you know, when you're tired and when you're constantly looking, you know, in the midst of it, it feels kind of like unobtainable to be like that.
Yes.
But in those times, you know, it might be unobtainable to feel like that. But like I was saying, you know, recognizing that and recognizing that you won't always feel like that, and you will get to a point where you can be prepared and enjoy what you're doing at the time.
I really like what you said as well, Claire, about like recognizing the bad and the good, because I think sometimes there's a tendency to feel guilty when things are bad for feeling bad about that, because that's what we were saying before. I mean, Kate, actually, before we were talking, you know, last week hadn't been a great week for either of us, I think, Kate, really. And kind of that guilt that comes with, you know, projecting into the future and thinking, is it, because it's on that preface of they're not quite ill yet, but you feel like something's looming and it's about to happen. So it's recognizing that okay, right now is not great, but things will get better, and enjoying the moments where it is.
And I always liken it to, this is not to do with allergies at all, but I had a family member who had a diagnosis with a medical condition, and it came with a lot of people saying, oh, you're going to be fine, you're going to fight this, you're going to be wonderful. And yes, I said the same things, but I also said, please recognise that this is a really rubbish diagnosis for you. You know, don't kind of push that to the side and think you must be positive about it all of the time, because you're going to burn yourself out. And that in itself is then going to not help your kind of mental state and your physical state, you know?
Toxic positivity.
Exactly. And I think I might have been the only person to say that.
Yeah.
I felt a bit out of place, but I thought, no, because you've got to recognise that it's a bit crap.
Yeah.
Because you must be feeling crap after being told this, surely. Mm. Yeah. So there you go.
And I think it's just sometimes having that permission to do that. You know, there's so much positivity and mindset that is like, oh, you need to keep going and keep on. And it's just at times thinking, you know what, this is completely normal. It is normal to feel this overwhelmed. It's not, you know, if we've just had a reaction, it's normal to feel fear and everything else that comes with it. And then recognizing, like, okay, it won't last forever.
Absolutely.
Because that's scary as well, isn't it? At times when you do go into that black hole of fear and what ifs and stuff, it feels like you're not going to get back out of there sometimes.
Yeah, sure. No, it really does.
So it's great that you've developed a product for children, because that is one of the things that really terrifies me, is like, I do really struggle with anxiety at times, and I really try to keep that from Quill, but I do think as he gets older, he's going to pick up on my own, and he's going to have his own, because we have to make him aware of his allergies. So when did you start to see that side with your daughter and think to help her with this?
It was kind of like I was saying earlier, kind of junior school age, it kind of kicked in a bit more, and just not wanting to talk about it type thing. You know, like when somebody goes up to the front of the class and they're all eyes are on you, I think that's what it feels like sometimes for her, and probably for other children. Then, you know, that's what I thought. If she's feeling like that, if I want to help her, then I'm pretty sure there's many other families in the same situation. And it was literally born from that. And where I, like I was saying, I love the whole mindset thing and mindfulness and affirmations and all that sort of stuff. It kind of just came to me one day. I will create an activity journal.
Yeah.
So I did.
Yeah.
And it was literally born out of wanting to help her. And she actually helped me design it. You know, I showed her, and she said if she thought it would help and that sort of stuff.
Oh, I bet she's so proud of that.
I know.
That's the perfect product tester there.
Exactly. I have my own little in-house product tester, so I thought, why not? So, yeah, and I just think it's such, although then children and people with allergies aren't only defined by their allergies, allergies are quite a big part of your life, because they have to be to keep you safe. So that's the take ownership part. You know, I have these allergies, again, recognising some days are rubbish, but also recognising that there are so many other things about you that are wonderful. And, you know, one of the pages in the journal is the children write down five or six things that that are good about themselves. So I think on the page it's one of the, there's like examples, if you like, and it, I'm creative, or I'm funny, or, you know, that's things that aren't anything to do with their allergies.
Yes, definitely.
Because, you know, allergies are there, but there's, you know, there's so much more than that.
And and the thing is, it's quite easy. So you go out for a meal and the first thing that you say is, you know, we've got allergies. You go to a party. Have you got the special food for such and such? You go to school and it's like, don't forget, like, and it is like a constant thing. So
yeah, exactly.
To have that highlighted, like the other things that make them special, that's so important, isn't it? Yeah. Because like you say, you can't run away from it. Although it doesn't define who our children are.
No, it is part of your life.
It is part of who they are. And they can't change that. So, you know, it's all about finding the positives in that, I suppose. And like you say, taking ownership over it.
And I think empower them. Part of that just builds a bit of resilience in them, because, like, you know, if they were in a restaurant, for example, and they didn't feel comfortable in that restaurant, it's being resilient enough to say, no, I don't feel comfortable, and, you know, getting up and leaving. Yeah. Or that, like, for example, it could be a million other things.
Yeah.
And like empowering them to be in control of them,
because have that confidence and say and absolutely call it out.
Because a lot of it is out of their control, and you know, like you were saying earlier, being prepared, you can be like 1,000,000% prepared, but it's never 100% guarantee nothing, you know, you're not going to have a reaction. So yeah, it's just helping them to have the mindset of the positivity part.
Yeah,
I love it. It sounds like something you could do with a younger one as well, you know.
Yes,
get them in that habit.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's aimed 7 to 11 year olds to use on their own, or with their grown up.
Yeah,
but younger children can absolutely use it with support of their grown up. You know, there's part of it is a gratitude journal. So every day they write 3 things that they're grateful for, how they're feeling, and there's, you know, there's space for them to draw instead of write. You know, because if they're not at the stage of being able to write down, they can draw how they're feeling. There's colouring in pages in there for like mindful activities. Yeah, there's quite a lot packed in there, to be fair.
To be honest, Claire, I'm sold. I feel like I need this, to be honest.
I want one. And then, do you know what? There's nothing out there like it. I looked. you know, when it first kind of came up for us, I looked, and there isn't anything like that. There's no connection between the two things.
And I think it's quite nice as well, Claire, like you said about the identifying like their own strengths and positivities in themselves. But I think that will also help them in others, because the people that they meet in their lives are going to also have their own stuff going on. Some more obviously than others.
Point.
Yeah, so it'll help them to see things
Claire,
in other people as well.
Worldwide kindness here, I love it.
There you go. Well, we're starting a movement.
There we go. That's it.
I've said that to my daughter before, actually, that everybody's got their stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something that I don't know necessarily they don't want to talk about, or they've got a medical condition, or you know, that everybody's got their stuff. You know, and as adults, we know that everybody's got things that have happened in their life, all that sort of stuff. But as children, when you're in it, you feel like the only one.
Yeah.
And you know, as adults, as when my daughter was young and the our allergy journey was just starting, I felt I didn't know anybody.
No.
I felt like I was the only one in the world to be going through it. So yeah, it's
it's a very isolating experience, isn't it?
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And anything that helps your own mindset, I think if you were doing it together, it'd be a really nice way of sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And perfect.
Yeah, I'm not going to give too much away, but there's other things in the pipeline.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go on social media and be like, oh, what's
this now, Claire?
No, I know. Exactly.
Everything coming is all around mindset. That's all I'll say. Ooh. It's all around mindset for children and for the parents. And those with allergies, so just
I'm 100% on board.
So yeah, I'm quite excited.
And I love as well that it's away from a screen, you know. Obviously, I fully use screens.
Of course, yeah.
No judgment on screens at all, but it's something that's nice to be away and do, yeah. And just that I think is a pain beater for them to look at as well and read over, yeah, if they're having a bad day.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said to me, actually, are you doing a digital version? This was when it was in kind of like the design process, and I said, yeah, no. And it's mainly because I don't actually know the source of this, but if you physically write something down, it's around, I think you're around however many percent more likely to.
What's your favorite page? Ooh,
that's a question. I actually like, there's a page in there, it's about recipe, it's a recipe page. Not that there isn't a recipe on it, it's about basically the title says, because you have allergies you're already like a star baker or a master chef type thing, so here's a space for you to write your favorite recipe, and then at the bottom there's like a chef's hat that they can then color in as like another minor point. Nice. I do like
that's
that
so true though as well.
Yeah, yes. Mainly because I like cake and things like that. But yeah, it's really hard to choose one because I kind of like it all. I really like it. I'm really proud of it. So,
that's amazing.
I'm really excited to go to the allergy show as well. Are either of you going?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping. I spoke to you, didn't I, on your post the other day? I'm hoping to go. Yes, nothing booked yet, but it's not too far from us, Birmingham. So, you know, it should be something that we're
very excited. I've only ever been to the London one. I mean, it's the first year it's in Birmingham anyway, but I always go to the London one, obviously in non-COVID times.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. So to actually be on the other side of it and exhibiting, exciting, slightly scary, but also really exciting.
Yeah, and if you want to know what stall Claire is at, it's on your Instagram, isn't it, Claire?
It is. Off the top of my head, I think it's A21.
There we go.
Wow. Ghosty. I remember some things, not the important stuff.
Just nothing.
So yeah, I'm just excited to get the journal out there and obviously the everything else that's coming. So yeah, excited.
Amazing.
I'd love to be down there, but yeah, house move coming very soon. So
slightly busy then.
Slightly, yeah. To a different country, so yes.
Claire, do you have any advice for parents that are just starting out on their allergy journey, or advice that you feel would set allergy parents in good stead?
Yeah, so I think my number one, we've spoken about it already, is trust your gut.
Yeah.
Because I've heard of so many people that have got past that part of their allergy journey and wish they had. Or pushed a bit more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Trust your gut, trust your intuition.
So this. Yeah.
Yes.
And reach out to the allergy community, because we're a wonderful bunch.
Yeah.
But you know, jokes aside, I've never met so many like lovely people. And I've met so many people like over the years that are now like firm friends.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, and you can go to them when you're in the rubbish times, and equally in the good times. And the support is just those who have allergies that are older than kind of my daughter and like old and kind of getting towards adulthood, and adults that have allergies that are in like the community and online and showing how they're living their life is just invaluable.
Yeah.
It's so useful, not only for like us as allergy parents to see that part of living with allergies and know that, you know, it's possible for our children to go and do all of these things.
Yeah.
But for the children as well.
Yeah.
Back in 2019, talking about the allergy show, I took my daughter for the first time to the one in London for a day. She absolutely loved it. But I took her because there was a lady there, Ali Barn. Miss Allergic Reactor. She's she travels the world, she's got multiple allergies, honestly. She's so inspirational, and I wanted my daughter to meet her, because I, you know, I was forever harping on to my daughter about her and like, oh look, she's doing this, look, she's doing that. I wanted her to see this, you know, Ali in real life, and It was a lovely moment.
Oh, that is so amazing.
That's lovely.
But honestly, it was so invaluable, and I'm so thankful for those people. You know, Lindy at the allergy table.
Yeah.
T, allergies in bold.
Yeah,
Ruth, what allergy, you know, and I could go on for hours because they're all so amazing and so inspirational for people living with allergies and their parents.
You the confidence to kind of do these things and try these things, doesn't it, when you see
really people does.
Having these successes. Sorry.
Yeah, 100%.
I was just going to add that for me, when I was thinking about the future, I kind of couldn't see how we could manage that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see how Teddy would be able to ever navigate his life as a teenager or going to university or, like you say, going on holiday. And it was actually Dan at May Contain that he's been on holiday recently, and it kind of shows me that it's given me almost a picture of what could happen, because it was just kind of dark for me.
It's so helpful.
It is like, it's invaluable, isn't it?
It really is.
I think it fits in with what you've said, Claire, about mindset, isn't it? Because if you fill yourself with the horrific stories and those and there are some, you know, God forbid,
of course,
when you see these other people doing these inspirational things and living their lives to the full, it really gives you a confidence for how your child's future is going to be.
It really does. And you know, it's a natural thing for your brain to kind of look for the negative stuff, because it's there to protect you. It's like preempting what the negative stuff is. You know, I've done it before. I've had to come off social media for a while because that's all I saw, and it was just too much. But equally, like you say, when you see all the good stuff, it's so invaluable, because it really does like help your mindset and help you think, you know, we can live life. And like you were saying earlier, be prepared and go and live your life. And however hard it is, that's kind of how we have to frame it with our children, isn't it? Because we don't want them to not live their lives because of it. You know, we've travelled, flown and travelled on holiday and stuff. And it was a military operation. And it was stressful, very stressful. But also equally, it was absolutely wonderful. And being able to do those things, however hard it is to prepare and to get all of those things in place, it's so worth it.
Definitely.
Because life's there to be lived, isn't it?
It is.
No, and stories like that kind of give, you know, I mean, my son's at 3, so we're still, you know, fairly early on in the stages. So when you hear about other people going on holiday and doing these things, it's like, we will step out of our bubble.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy, because, you know, it really isn't. And we're slightly different in that we travel to see family, so
you got that support at the
end. We haven't kind of like been to a hotel or self-catering or anything like that. So that would be another hurdle to get myself over, let alone anybody else.
Definitely.
You know, we went, our family is in Zimbabwe.
Oh, wow.
So that's where we've been. I think 3 times now with my daughter.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, you know, the flight is like 12 hours long. There's 2 flights, sorry. One of them's 12 hours long. One of them's only an hour and a half. We obviously, it's so far away. I think the first time we went for a month, and then we've been for like 3 weeks. And no word of a lie, I take all of her food for the whole time. Because it kind of allows us to do that traveling and to see these places and see family, but also takes part of it away, and that we've got the food. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
And over there, you know, labeling's different, restaurants are different, they have a lot of peanuts and that kind of thing. So it was kind of, it obviously doesn't remove the whole risk completely, but it minimizes it. So
can
yeah,
it's about the sort of practicalities with that. Would the airline give you extra baggage?
Yes, they class it as medical equipment.
Okay, brilliant.
And because, you know, it's a special diet because of a medical condition, it is medical equipment. And, you know, our allergy clinic gave us a letter that stated that we needed to travel with food as well, which I think helped. But
yeah,
you get, I think it was an extra 15 kilos.
Okay, that's really handy to know as well.
Yeah, so that's really helpful. But one thing I will say is do spread the food throughout the suitcases. Don't put it all in one, because you know, when traveling,
yes,
you know, if one goes missing and all of the food was in that one, what are you gonna do? But yeah, you know, it, all of these things feel like they're impossible, feel like they're hard, because you're out of practice, you're out of, you know, you kind of get into a rhythm of what you do, and when you get there you do this and you wipe this and then you ask for this, and it, just out of practice, and I was just so nervous, but you know, it was fine.
It is. It's just having it again, like you say, that COVID bubble did offer a lot of comfort at times, but it's not what I want real to life, model for Quill. No. You know, no. I want him to have experiences and
of course.
That it is okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, worst case scenarios that we're well prepared if anything did happen, you know, EpiPens, you've got your antihistamine and plans and things. That's all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Claire, for being with us today. It's been amazing to chat with you.
Thank you for having me.
Your journal just sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
A great resource for children. So thank you so much for being with us. We hope you've enjoyed it as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've loved it.
So you can find Claire on Instagram at The Allergy Collective. And if you go over to her Instagram page, in her bio, there is a link to her website where you can find out more information to the blog and also where you can purchase the journal as well, Me and My Allergies. So thank you so much, Claire. It's been an absolute pleasure
to speak to
you today.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks, ladies.
It is over to Barbara now, who is going to share with us her tip to help you live your best free from life. Thanks, Barbara. Over to you.
This is Barbara. I am the mum of a CMPA and soy allergic one-year-old. I breastfeed, so we are both dairy and soya free. And first of all, I would like to thank you guys so, so much for this podcast. It feels so good to listen to other parents in our same situation. It's just priceless. I have tons of tips and recipes that I share in my Instagram account, which is at cmpa.mom, M-O-M. But my number one tip is to always, always, always carry some food for me and my child in my bag. It doesn't matter where you'll go to or who you will meet, if you're going to a friend's or family house or a restaurant or whatever, the only way or the best way to ensure that your child is safe is to pack up some food and take it with you. You might end up not using it. It has happened to me a lot of times, but it will give you so much peace of mind to know that there is something safe for you or for your child to eat without any risk. So I hope you like my tip, and I'm enjoying this podcast a lot. Thank you again, guys. Bye bye.
Thank you so much, Claire, for coming on tonight. It was lovely to hear all about the great work you've been up to with Me and My Allergies, and just the general life experience you've had and your passion. So yeah, we've really enjoyed having you on tonight. If you want to go and have a look at Claire's products and pages, then you can go to www.allergycollective.co.uk, or on Instagram it's The Allergy Collective. We hope you've enjoyed the show today and got something out of it. We definitely did, and we hope to see you next time. Bye for now.